It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. More than 300 million people visited the National Park System in the United States in 2016, but that's a system that is now under threat. The Guardian newspaper has a new investigative series. It's called This Land is Your Land. They're looking at threats to America's public lands, and their latest report delves into the National Park System's infrastructure in dire need of repair. Alistair G. is public lands editor for The Guardian. Alistair, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, you and The Guardian have been reporting on the national park system all over the country, from Yosemite in California to Harper's Ferry in West Virginia. Alistair, what's the overall state of the park system now?
Well, national parks are one part of this very dramatic and special tapestry of public lands that are held in trust for the American people and managed by the government. And as you said, they are also very much loved by the American people. But for several years now, there has been this very, very large backlog of maintenance that the Park Service hasn't been able to accomplish in the park. There is now approximately $11 billion of what's called deferred maintenance, which basically means that it was a repair that the Park Service wasn't able to carry out in a given year, and so basically had to add it to a backlog. And so what this means in practice is that you have trails that are closed, you have in one case a cabin that collapsed, in another case you have wastewater systems that are in dire need of repair, or pipelines supplying drinking water keep bursting. And so, as one expert described to me, the National Park Service is in, quote, triage mode. It really does need to take care of these things, but it's not able to.
Alistair, do most people see this disrepair when they visit a national park? Does it affect their hiking or their camping visits or even their drive through the park? Or are they able to sort of pass by without really noticing what's happening?
It depends. So, for instance, one of the most significant repairs that the Park Service hasn't been able to carry out is a pipeline at the Grand Canyon. And it was built in the 1960s, and it supplies drinking water to the entire South Rim, that very popular part of the park. And so if you were visiting the park, you probably wouldn't know that this pipeline is out of order. But it breaks anywhere from half a dozen times to over 20 times a year. It requires crews to helicopter in every time there is a problem to fix it. And each repair can cost as much as $25,000. And I think that it would take $124 million to replace it. So even though a visitor might not see that, that's a really crucial piece of infrastructure that basically means that there is potable water on the South Rim.
Well, Alistair, increases in entry fees are on the table. They have been for several months. How far would that go to cover the kinds of expenses needed for some of the repairs you're talking about?
So Ryan Zinke, the Interior Secretary, has proposed these increased entry fees at 17 of the most popular parks as a way to deal with this maintenance backlog at the parks. And so the idea is, for instance, that for each vehicle, the price would go from around $25 to $30 to about $70 per park. And so, of course, there are concerns that this might put off people with a budget. But also, the folks that I spoke to, some of the critics of this plan, they pointed out that this is projected by the Park Service itself to raise only an additional $70 million a year, which is, of course, a lot of money. But when you consider that $11 billion a year is the backlog, $70 million a year works out to be less than 1% of that number. And so they say, look, this is intended to address this backlog, but it's not going to go very far to do that.
The Guardian newspaper is reporting on the state of public lands all across America. Alistair G. is public lands editor at The Guardian. Alistair, thanks again.
Thanks so much for having me.
For the last 83 years, a board of citizens and experts has advised the Secretary of the Interior on America's outdoor spaces, the national monuments, the trails, and the national parks. Well, 10 of that board's 12 members resigned earlier this month, essentially in protest because Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke refused to meet with them at all in 2017. Carolyn Finney is an assistant professor in the Department of Geography at the University of Kentucky, and she was one of those board members who resigned.
The board's been around since 1935. Our mandate is to meet twice a year. At minimum, what we're supposed to do is help affirm and confirm new national landmark sites. But there's so many more things we do as well. And so in all of 2017, Secretary Zinke did not meet with us. Now, what should have happened, because it happened when Sally Jewell was Secretary of the Interior, is that there's a new Secretary of the Interior. They appoint a new National Park Service Director, and they meet with everyone. And so he should have sat down with us, heard what we've been doing for the last 8 years. And look, the first few months of the year, we understood enough to think, look, there's a big transition happening here. We're going to give them some time. But after a while, you know, we follow all the proper channels. We're reaching out. And by October, November, we recognize that, look, they're not going to sit down with us. That's what it looks like. We've tried. They're not going to meet us. So we can either go silently into the good night, or we can use this moment to make a point and really bring up the conversation, because we were really unhappy with the way things were handled.
And the conversation you're hoping to bring up, what's the overall state of the national parks now? Look, if the Secretary of Interior wants to make decisions on his own or in another way, I suppose, as you said, that's his prerogative. But what do you want to say to him that he's not hearing?
Well, we want to say, one, he's the Secretary of the Interior. So I say it's his prerogative to the extent that, you know, he has a significant amount of power. And there's a lot that he can do. But the national parks aren't his. The national parks are all of ours, right? They're supported by tax dollars. They're supported by people who go to the parks, people who work at the parks. We care about them. They have a long history here in this country. They mean something to a lot of people. So I would think that somebody would want to sit down and hear what some of those people are thinking and have been doing.
Still, Carolyn, we just heard reports $11 billion in maintenance backlogs to start in the national park system. Do you have specific concerns when it comes to that infrastructure that you mentioned? Would Secretary Zinke be hearing from your board, if it were still in place, about that infrastructure backlog?
Again, we're advisors, right? We can't tell people what to do. These things come up. We talk about the infrastructure, but not a lot, because that wasn't actually, as a board, that wasn't our mandate. You know, that backlog's been in place a really long time. And I would say, yes, it's something that has to be looked at. And it's part of a long list of issues that need to be looked at or that are being looked at, but need to be sustained. I mean, it's really hard for me to answer anything about what Secretary Zinke is doing, because we actually don't know. That's the whole thing. We don't know. We don't know what the agenda is. Of course, they're going to bring in a new group of people. They should. That's the natural progress of things. But we have no idea. Well, that's actually not true. We have a little bit of an idea as a public, right? Because we've seen a few things, like the increasing the price to get into the national parks. But he didn't consult with any of us or anyone about that. And we were all pretty much appalled, because if you think about part of our concern is that we want to make the parks as accessible as possible. And yes, there is that $11 million backlog. I understand the money has to come somewhere. But that's one of the issues that if it sat down with us, we could have at least discussed it and said, you know, if you increase the price, that's going to constrain the ability of all kinds of people to actually take their families out to the park. It's fairly basic, but he didn't have that conversation with anybody. So that kind of unilateral decision is concerning.
Carolyn Finney is assistant professor in the Department of Geography at the University of Kentucky. She's also author of the book Black Faces, White Spaces, Reimagining the Relationship of African Americans to the Great Outdoors. Carolyn Finney, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.